Welcome to Cruising Through Cinema. I'm Dennis, sliding in my bare ass, tidy whitey.
And I'm Dyer, coming to you live from the north side of Chicago, where we're hiring escorts and paying them in IOUs.
And pissing off pimps named Guido. Guido the Angry Pimp.
Joey Pants, as I call
it. Joey Pants, yes. That's right. This is the podcast, in case you didn't know. We'll cruise through the chronological order of Tom Cruise's filmography, this being his fifth film, therefore our fifth episode, specializing this week on Risky Business, the 1983 classic. One of the most iconic scenes in movie history.
There's a couple iconic scenes in this movie, but obviously everyone knows the Bob Seger old-time rock and roll slide across in the tighty whities and the pink dress shirt. And then when he, you know, so he does that, right? He pantomimes with the candlestick, like singing on the microphone. And then jumps on the couch and does the whole feet thing. Like, that's the iconic scene.
Yes. In this movie. And let's be honest, any 17-year-old, is he 17 or 18 in this? I think he's 18. Is that the
I want to say he's a senior in high school, so he's got to be, let's say 18.
We'll say 18, because it's definitely the end of a semester, because they're young entrepreneurs. What is it? No, the Young Enterprisers Club ends with...
Which, be honest,
is Junior Achievement.
Isn't that just DECA?
Or Junior Achievement, yes.
Check your local listings. It's whatever your high school had.
It's whatever your high school had. But yeah, ours had DECA, which was a marketing thing. I referenced that earlier this week. Oh, I know what it was. I was telling someone that we're getting a little in the weeds here, but I could use help. Do you remember the name of the game that we would play in DECA, that or in marketing class in association with DECA, where you would run your own convenience store? Did you ever play that game? And there was it was part of the DECA competition that you could enter into. It was like, if you played this game really well, where you ran a convenience store and you'd like set the price and advertise. I just have like vague recollection and thinking it was amazing, and I can't find it anywhere, because I would download that and play the crap out of it for 3 hours.
I remember it, but I don't remember the name. Shit.
Wasn't it awesome, though?
Oh, it was so awesome.
It was awesome. I can't find it. I cannot find it. But yes, Risky Business is...
Just ask Mr. Way. I'm sure he'll know. He knows where it is.
I don't want to get punched or physically assaulted by a teacher.
He just punched you right in the face.
Inside joked for about five people. Inside joke.
Yeah.
The five people being me, you, Adam, James, and we'll say
maybe there's only four.
Seth.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm trying to think who is that intimately familiar with Mr. Way.
Mr. Wee.
God, that was like 3 years of our life where that's all we said to each other was Mr. Wee.
I know.
He was a great teacher. I never actually had him in class.
I did. But he was great.
Anyway, he did provide free donuts, so that was nice.
Yep. Your brother drugged me along to a meeting.
Same thing for me, but I was in it for the free donuts, so...
Yep.
Next, and then we became goddamn county champions.
We did. And your name is Burkett. Not Burkett. Burkett.
We were young entrepreneurs.
And full of spunk.
We were
like
young.
Tom Cruise in this movie.
Young enterprisers. Anyway.
We'll circle back.
Hold on. 1983.
Right.
Rated R for obvious reasons.
Wait, this one's rated R?
Yes. There was frontal nudity.
I'm kidding. I know where
they are. And 1983 film, same year as the last movie. Very similar theme. Yeah, losing it. This was directed by Paul Brickman, who evidently, based on his the whole development of this film and some choices that were made,
this is the only thing he's ever done.
He was like artsy fartsy, and he's like, he got basically soured on Hollywood and was like, I'm done with Hollywood because of his experience with the production company with this. But yeah, this Chicago teenager is looking for a fun at home. A Chicago teenager is looking for fun at home while his parents are away, but the situation quickly gets out of hand, and boy howdy does it. This, as I alluded to last episode, was as a teenager and a kid watching this, it's much different than being in my mid-30s watching this. When 100%. I was a kid, when I was a kid, the humor was lost upon me, and it was a cautionary tale of giving into your urges, because the whole premise, Booger, I don't know his actual name.
Curtis Armstrong
leads off with the premise. Yeah, Booger from Revenge of the Nerds, but with the premise. Well, fuck it. Or what is it? No. Sometimes you just gotta say,
fuck it.
What the fuck? No. Sometimes you just gotta say, because his dad later says, I told you, sometimes you just gotta say, what the heck?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, every single kid in high school had this fantasy, right?
Yes. Well, maybe not.
Maybe not hiring a hooker. but essentially, they're all wanting to get laid, right? They're high school students. They're just like, they're young, dumb, and full of cum. They just want to get laid. That's all they want to do. And then they all have, like, you know, funny, because Bronson Pinchot, however you pronounce his name. He's been in a few things.
Yeah.
Him and Tom's character.
Tom's friend group reminded me of our friend group in high school. Like, you've
100%.
Got. Yeah. Like, they're 100%. Just average Joes. They're not jocks. They're kind of smart. But
one of his friends in the friends group has a girlfriend. So Bronson and Joel are working on their young enterprisers project. And he the guy and his girlfriend bang it out above the kitchen.
Yeah, Glenn. Glenn is the friend.
Glenn hears.
First of all, if your parents are out of town. And Joel's obviously an only child. But if your parents are out of town and your friend comes over wanting to hook up with his girlfriend and they need a place to go, never in a million years am I letting them go to my bedroom.
No, absolutely not my bedroom. No way. No how.
No.
He never changed the sheets.
No, that's disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting.
Well, we didn't see him change the sheets, but, you know.
And if, let's just say we did, you would totally go mess with them. You want to stay down there and work on your young entrepreneur or enterprisers project for the Memo Miner. I would buy a Memo Miner for $10 and a heartbeat.
100%. Me too.
Memo. Nope,
memo. You light damp newspaper and just have it smoke underneath the door.
Yeah.
Or you just bang on the door. So hey, no one's getting laid in this house.
Yeah.
So don't stop trying.
Yeah, chicken block them. Yeah, chicken block them. That's what I'm calling it.
We can say cock block.
Yeah, cock block. But back to what I was saying, the way this, the actual premise and the script of this film is one thing, but it's so, the shot, the way it's framed, this guy was definitely, Paul Brickman was a director that definitely had vision. Just the way some of the shots are done, and it's just not, it could have totally been played on a Losing It or Porky's type of way, and it's not. It's very, I don't want to say artsy-fartsy, but that's what this guy would have gone on to do.
No, it's definitely artsy-fartsy, because when Lana gets to the house, right, and Tom comes up, and Joel comes up behind her, and the doors blow up, and all the leaves are coming in, this is how I know I'm old. My first thought was, I gotta get the leaves out of the house. I don't want the leaves in the house.
Are we led to believe that's what actually happened, or are we led to believe that that was obviously Tom Cruise's mind getting blown, so to speak?
No.
Just the adrenaline rush.
No, that was the whole thing happening.
Dare I say it? That scene was shot sexily. It wasn't just like 100%. Played off for laughs. Yes.
100%. I wouldn't be surprised if oh shit, what's her name? Not Lana, the actress's name. What's her Rebecca De Mornay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rebecca De Mornay and Tom didn't fuck in real life.
Well, no, they dated for a while after this film.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Was that before or after he went all?
No, it was probably before he became Scientologist.
Huh. Well, yeah, I mean, essentially.
What? Okay, so what do you call someone that's a Scientologist? Do you just say, like, if you're Catholic, if you practice Catholicism, you're Catholic.
You're Catholic.
If you practice Scientology,
you're Scientologist.
So I am Scientologist. Like I say, I am Catholic. So he would say, I am Scientologist.
He says, I am a Scientologist.
I guess I could say, I am a Catholic.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm a Catholic, yeah. You know.
Anyway, sidetrack. But yeah. But before Lana shows up, we get Jackie.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, right, Curtis is at the house, and he's like, they're talking about trying to, you know, essentially getting laid, and Curtis calls a number from back in the day when you can advertise personals like that in the
newspaper. Love it. I love and hate Curtis at the same time.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
And specifically for a scene later on during a party, but
So back in the day you could advertise escorts or call girls in the newspaper. So he calls and leaves a voicemail. Okay, leaves a message. God damn, it's gonna be hard for me to not. Joel says, "I want the paper back." He's like, "What paper?" And he eats it right in front of him.
But he does cough it up when he's leaving. If you watch closely, so was this your? This wasn't your first time watching this, was it?
I had seen bits and pieces of this.
You had never seen all of it?
I had never seen it all the way through.
It is.
I saw.
I mean, we'll rank it later, but it's gonna. Let's put it this way: it's gonna be near the top of our list for a while. Like I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't end in the top 10.
I had seen the sex scenes with him and Lana. I had seen when he's buying all of his stuff back from Guido. And then I must have missed all the other stuff.
So do you think that this was all a setup? Do you think Lana actually has feelings for Joel?
I think she does.
So that's the problem the director had with the end of the script. It was supposed to end where he's talking to her in the restaurant, and it's still kind of like left up in the air.
And like it's ambiguous.
But then the scene where they're walking in the park, and she's like, "Well, I could write you a check. I'd mail it to you." And he says, "Oh, what are we gonna do about this?" That was added in like in post. That was like a reshoot. They added that later. Okay. So that's what the director was so pissed about, because it changed the whole tenor of the, like, was she in love with him or not? Is she really his girlfriend? That was all added, because he's going away to Princeton.
Right. The implication. Which I've got.
I love the line. Looks like it's Illinois for me.
Oh, it looks like it's the University of Illinois. Throws on the Ray-Bans. You know, fun fact. This movie is the reason why I purchased my first ever pair of Wayfarers.
It wouldn't be this film. It would be more of the iconic Cruisin' and Rain Man that I think of. But did you know sales of Ray-Bans went up 2,000% the 6 months following this film?
I can definitely believe it. I mean,
this movie had a budget of like $6 million and grossed actually like almost 38. It was like 60 million, I thought, what I read.
As we get later on, I want to talk about the recruiter. So, like for Princeton, I want to talk about him here in a little bit.
Yes, he was wonderful. But yeah, first of all, let's go back to the premise of all these movies. Parents are stupid.
Parents are stupid in the 80s.
They're stupid and just bitter and unpleasant.
Naive and...
mom is... I just need slapped.
Well, okay.
She's just condescending.
In the beginning, his mom is fine. She's like, oh, it's fine if he has a friend over. It's, you know, we left you $125 and, you know, all this. And his dad's got the stick up his ass and everything. And then it switches at the end of the movie, and his mom's the royal bitch. And his dad is all buddy-buddy with him because it turns out he's actually getting into Princeton.
Yes.
Which is all his dad cared about. His dad wanted his son to go to Princeton. And that's why he made him join Future Enterprises, Future Entrepreneurs, or whatever it was called. That's why he wanted him to join this, because he wanted him to go to Princeton. He didn't care about anything else.
Yes. He wanted him to go to Princeton. This, so Risky Business is, it's not his first leading role, but it is arguably, he wasn't asked to do much as far as being, he was top billed, but I don't think that you could really say he was a leading role in Losing It.
No, he wasn't necessarily.
But this, no. you get the iconic Tom Cruise run, you get the iconic smug grin, you get the charisma.
Oh, he runs to her apartment. Yeah, that's right.
He also runs into his classroom.
That's right. Yeah.
And then you get him. You also get where he runs and like he's trying to get into the school building and he can't grab the right door.
Right. Yeah. That nurse was a bitch.
Yes, but he's asked to do a lot. Like his range in this film, like he's kind of childish. He's dancing around childish early on in the film. He's got like he's trying to be macho. And then you get the comedic timing of the scene with the nurse. She did amazing. Like that was hilarious. Where he grabs her collar and pulls her in.
Yeah. It's just they go, hilarious. Well, what'd you get? Well, he got 5 day suspension and he got.
Yeah. And he's like, I need a bike. And he goes, and Curtis, Miles, Booger, is like, give him his bike, Barry, or whatever.
Yeah,
or Glenn's just a doofus. It was Glenn's bike. He's like, give him his bike, Glenn, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Because basically, he's like, every time you think Tom is going to get ahead, or excuse me, Joel is going to get ahead, shit just flies. Either he gets screwed by a pimp.
If you're in high school,
the escort steal from him.
If you're in high school and your parents go away for the weekend, this is hypothetical because I know your parents and they wouldn't let you do this. But hypothetically, if your parents go away for the weekend, they leave you a station wagon and a Porsche. Which one do you take them?
The Porsche.
100%. Every single time. You know what that reminded me of? The scene. Remind me a lot of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, right? When they take the Ferrari.
Yeah, so had you not seen that before? Where he gets stoned and then Lana gets upset because he's getting personal? So was a new scene for you. You've kind of seen the highlights, but not the adjoining bits.
Yes.
Like, you knew the premise.
And
like I said, it's much funnier as an adult to watch this than as someone that's like going through, because it just causes so much anxiety at a young age
to watch this film.
At least it did the first time I watched it
when he's raking leaves in the backyard and he puts on the Ray-Bans and lights up the cigarette.
Yes.
Like, you know, that's just an alternate persona of his.
And the other, who hasn't been the kid that's like, oh, the parents are gone, I'm just going to kind of cut loose. But just the amount of, like, I love the scene where he sits down when his parents are gone. He sits down with a TV dinner that he didn't bother to heat up. And he pours, like, half of a fifth of whiskey into a glass.
Yeah.
And then just colors it with the Coke.
Yep. And it wasn't.
It's like, he's just being an irresponsible teen. And then, honestly, what this made me think of is in the era. I mean, this was pre-internet. So what's a raged up teenager going to do?
He's going to call. Escort.
What are you going to do? But just the scene where he decides to actually call, And this is after this is after Jackie showed up.
Right, and he's
the wizened old Jackie, which was played by a guy by the name of Bruce Young. That was a great scene, and actually very tastefully done for the era. Like, it wasn't just like, ha ha ha. Like, it was.
Bruce goes, Jackie goes, call Lana. Every guy on the north side of Chicago wants Lana.
It's what all white boys want this side of Chicago.
Right, exactly.
Call Lana. It's what you want. It's what all white boys want.
Not wrong. I mean, Lana shows up commando. Like, she's fully nude underneath this, like, dress that's barely held together with a, like, and you know she's there for business. But I will tell you, that is poor business on her part. Because you don't immediately start having sex with your client. You're with the Joe, with the John. You get the money first. That was her first mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, was definitely a mistake.
She walked in and said, are you Joel? And he went up behind her. No,
it's not Joel, because he, what was his name? He gave a fake name.
Was it Alan? Or
Rick? Alan. Or is it Barry? Alan. I don't know. Yeah, I think like that. It was a very generic sounding mid-80s name.
And he, I mean, I saw that scene when I was younger. I saw the stairway scene. I saw the sitting in front of the den on the chair with the American flag playing on the TV scene.
You did. One thing we skipped over, which was a great part, was this, where he decides to call Lana. He's sitting in his tidy whities in a beanbag chair. What? Like, and then when she starts asking for his address, he pulls down a catcher's mask.
Yeah, that's right.
He just acts like a little, like he's, it reminded me of Stewart from
Mad TV.
From Mad TV, the way he's sitting there in his tidy whities.
But we kind of glanced over a couple things too. He has essentially a sex dream or a fantasy about banging the babysitter.
Yes.
And
come out with your hands up, get off the babysitter.
Lays her down on the table with the blinds wide open, thinking the cops won't see. He goes, who's that? She goes, that's my dad.
But that's what I mean. Like, this film, like, is just so, it's so good.
Yeah. And then he goes, he's laying in bed and he goes to take care of himself. Right. And he, like, you can obviously every guy knows what he's doing. And then he stops and then he's just like, all right, I'm gonna do it. And then he calls Lana.
But back in the day you couldn't just roll over and grab your laptop and take care of that. So your parents are out of town, it's time to get risky.
Business.
Business. Maybe next time if he was wiser, he would have called a 900 number. But I don't know. Then that's a whole issue with how do you pay for it? Parents gonna find out on the bill,
right? Because he didn't have a credit card himself. He was And that was the back in the day. Remember in all the 80s and 90s movies when they paid by a credit card, they put it in the machine with the carbon copy paper.
Yeah, all I think about is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when his credit card is burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, which reminds. So here's my question. Back in the day when you had the credit card, because that was the carbon copy, right? They'd hand you the receipt, and I'm sure they had to mail that in, right, to the card company.
Yeah.
What's to stop you from just running up your credit card bill? Nothing, right?
Nothing. You probably just get very threatening letters if you go over your limit.
But the credit score didn't really existed back then, but not really. Not in today's standards,
Yeah, nothing was instant.
But yeah, so he called. It's just the way he takes forever. He's like, Lana? Yeah. He's like, my name is Alan. She's like, what's your address, Alan? And he hesitates. And as an adult, I'm watching, I go, yeah, I would have done the same thing if I was in his situation.
He's super nervous.
You've gone too far, and you can't just hang up on her.
Yeah.
You're like, and then you think with your dick, and you go, my address is this. Okay, see you in 35 minutes or whatever.
A little bit of planning, though, would have gone a long way for him to avoid a lot of this.
100%. And we didn't, not that we needed to see this, but we didn't know. Maybe, you think he raw-dogged her, or do you think she had protection on her?
Yeah, I don't know how that worked.
I don't know how that worked either. But
I don't know what happened. As the camera was panning across his childhood photos, I don't think... We don't know what happened.
Yeah, that's a good way to get STDs back in the day. Anyway, they wake up the next morning and she's making him breakfast. Is that right?
Yeah, she's already made breakfast, and then she's like, "How are we gonna pay for this?"
And he's like, "She's like, I need $300." He's like, "I don't have that much on me." She goes, "Well, what are we gonna do about this, Joel?" Because he says his name's Joel. Because he tells her, he goes, "Yeah." Hey, because I got something to tell you. My name's not Alan. It's actually Joel. He goes, "Well, Joel, last night was great. That'll be $300. He's like, "I don't have that on me." She goes, "Well, what are you going to do about this?" "I can write you a check." She goes, "A check?" He goes, "Well, I can send it to you." She goes, "No." He's like, "Well, I got a bond at the bank." She goes, "Well, okay." And then, like, you could see the shame and guilt as he opens up his safe deposit box and it's a $500 savings bond from his grandparents.
Yes.
And then he like gets back and realizes the egg is gone and a bunch of other stuff is gone. And he's like, "She robbed me."
I think it was just the egg that got taken.
Was it just the egg? I thought
it was just it was just the egg. It was later on that more gets taken.
That's right. And he's like, "Hey, I need my mom's egg back." She's like, "Well, I can get it back for you." She goes, "That's not a problem. But you got to help me with Guido. Or you got to help me with it."
Well, yeah. So she's like, "Okay, because Booger do a stakeout because he called Jackie. And Jackie's like, "Oh, she'll be at this hotel."
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So they do a stakeout. And then they're like... He's like, "I'm so glad we paid." Booger's like, "I'm so glad I paid $5 for a hot chocolate."
Because
all they did, he's like, "Yeah," because he was like basically too scared to actually go confront her.
Yeah, so they sit there, and then like they're sitting in the Porsche, and she knocks on the window. She goes, "Is that your car?" And he goes, "Yeah." So she gets in, and then Guido starts like, essentially, she's running away from Guido. Guido's an abusive pimp. And, like, wants her to get out of the car and threatens him with a gun. Joel can't get it started. Finally gets it started and drives off.
Yeah, and then we get a car chase.
He kind of has, like, what's the word I'm looking for? That syndrome, like, White Knight syndrome. Like, she wants to be saved, you know? Like,
yeah.
So she goes to Joel, he saves her, and then she kind of starts falling for him, which... false pretenses or whatever, but we get a car chase, right, and everything. If you're the dad, when you get back, wouldn't you just check the odometer on the Porsche to, like, see if it'd been driven?
Yeah, because the implication is they're driving to downtown Chicago and they live in the suburbs. So you know he's put on a couple hundred miles.
Yeah.
Especially since he's doing burnouts and driving the car around. Because that's also a thing earlier before Joel calls the Lena and Jackie, before that all happens.
He's like, "Booger,
great. I told you," he told them, "sometimes you just got to say, what the fuck?" And he's like, "Great, you already did the take daddy's car out bit. Now you need to fulfill your deepest desires."
Car falls in the lake, right? They get it fixed. You know 1,000% that car is going to have issues for the rest of its life.
Oh, yeah, that was my, as a insurance person that deals with total loss automobiles, that car is never going to see the light of day again.
That car is fucked.
It is getting sold as salvage and getting parted out, and the rest is just scrap.
Yeah, they're not fixing it.
There's no fixing that car in 3 days or whatever movie magic that was.
Yeah, that was almost like
fish were flopping out. Is the implication that because we find out he made $8,000.
He grossed $8,000.
Yeah, which most of it was the implication, because The implication was most of it he had to pay back to Guido, to at the end of the movie. But to then it also seemed back. Like, yeah, but then it seemed like he had some cash later on. But maybe that was whatever. Doesn't matter. Regardless, is the implication that he bought a brand new Porsche for $8,000? Like, this doesn't make any.
No.
The implication is he got it fixed.
Yeah, and they essentially, it was the, because they didn't do a great job of explaining it. I think what he did was they fixed the car. They said, he goes, hey, who's the captain of the U-boat over here? He said, okay, it's going to be X amount of dollars to fix it. Then they agree to have the all-night, one-night whorehouse extravaganza where most of that money is going to be used to pay for the car.
Correct. Okay, so then that's paid to fix the car, and then whatever's left is what he paid for Guido.
Whatever left was going to be his money, but then Guido and Vicky steal all like the furniture and the egg and everything.
There's obviously some movie magic, and it doesn't like the car bit. I don't know, like the car bit's the only part that kind of like gave me pause from the movie, going, wait a second, there's no way that's how that works.
What about so later on, right? They're having this party, right? Everyone's getting laid. The Princeton recruiter shows up and he's trying to have an interview with him. And he goes, all right, GP.
Yeah. Hold on. What causes that decision to basically turn the house into a brothel is because he needs to raise money to pay for the car.
Right.
And Lena has decided to basically move in and invite her friend who is clearly like on the ends with Guido.
Right.
Which we find Vicky, we find out later on in the movie that like Vicky's really not a good person at all.
No, absolutely not.
She's basically Guido's right hand man or
woman. Lana helps him sit there, like when he goes to their apartment, like she has that mind, he says, that can like figure all this stuff out. She's like, she's the brains behind all the financial stuff. By the way, we're assuming this is happening on a weekend. What Princeton, what college recruiter or from the admissions office
is coming on
a weekend?
Yeah.
When it's dark outside.
And what parents and what parents go on a trip when the Princeton recruiter's coming?
Yeah, and this wasn't summer because it got dark early and it was obviously fall because of the leaves and everything.
True. Very valid. So I would think he's 17 in this film.
I would think so too. I think this is probably the end of his junior year, getting ready to go into senior.
No. I think it's he's going into his senior year, and this is the junior year. He's starting his senior year.
Okay.
Maybe not. Regardless, he's 17-ish.
Yeah. But like, I just love how the Princeton recruiter goes. All right, math, 579, verbal, 570.
She's good at the logistics with setting up the whorehouse.
Exactly.
She knows how to get beds. She's like, maybe if your friends sure do have a lot of bonds. And so they connect all the yuppie boys with all the women, which.
Right.
Was there a certain woman that made you go, I mean, to each their own, but I'm not sure that's a woman?
It's been a minute since I've seen it, so probably.
There is one that they show several times that I'm pretty sure is a guy in a wig.
It could be.
Pretty sure.
So
not to each their own. It's just, it struck me as like,
yeah.
I mean, they're women of the night. So, right. I mean, they're not going to be the nicest looking women, as we saw from Losing It. Sometimes they're 60-year-old women.
Yeah. So, Lana. My bad. Sorry about that. Lana.
Or should you say Yana?
Joel thinks he's failed the recruitment, right? So
yes.
He goes down to the basement. He's playing with the model train. He's all mopey. And then Lana comes up to him and he's like, well, she goes, you've got a great.
A little bit of foreshadowing there with the train.
Right. You've got a great car. You've got a great girlfriend to boot. He's like, really? are you my girlfriend? Like, feeling mopey down for himself.
Well, because she's like, kind of implied, like, earlier, the scene where he ruins his dad's car, she's like, well, you want to be my girlfriend I can be your girlfriend for the weekend.
Right.
For the next three days. Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, I am your girlfriend. She goes, have you ever made love on a train? On a real train? He's like, no. And he's talking to his parents, right?
Yeah, and she's like horning them up.
Yeah. His mom's just like, all right, yeah, well, we'll be in it this day. He's like, great. And his dad's like, I didn't say you could have a party, blah, 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 blah. So they go on a train, and Tom's like, I thought you said this train is going to be empty. She gets patience. But if you've ever been in that situation, waiting is not the last, is the last thing on your mind. You don't want to wait. You want to get it right then and there. So people start filing off the train. They start making out. I couldn't stop laughing at the homeless drunk that was watching them.
Yes. And then Tom gets to the point where he's so frustrated. He carries him off. But he was respectful. He put him in a chair and covered him with a coat. Right. But the bum is just sitting there staring at him.
And then, this was more than I ever expected to see. I mean, even though we saw full frontal earlier, you see Joel slide her panties off, and there's no movie magic there. Like, you know this where those were.
This film got to Bliss levels of nudity.
Oh, Bliss.
Bliss, if you were of a certain age in the early aughts, you know what I'm saying.
Uh-huh, I sure do.
We're old enough to have your own laptop yet, but you had a TV in your room.
And
a mute button.
And certain time at night, back.
And then some old hag would come on the TV and start talking about dildos.
Sex with Dr. Sue.
Oh, what a time to be alive. And that was after the E days. And then you never know. The Howard Stern show was always a crapshoot.
Yeah. And then Brooke?
Wild on E with Brooke Burke.
Yeah. Wild on E with Brooke Burke. Yeah. That was a crapshoot too, most of the time.
30% of the reason why I wanted an E for Speed Underground 2.
Do you remember back in the day, and this is kind of a side note, you stayed up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you could see the Girls Gone Wild commercial.
Yes, on repeat. Yes.
But it was edited, so you're just yeah.
Yeah, like I said, you didn't have your own we didn't have cell phones then. I will just say having a PlayStation Portable with its own web browser was life-changing. End of discussion.
So they get home, right? He fixes the Porsche, right? After their night with Lana. Fixes the Porsche, drives home with the blinkers on really slow, which disbelief, right? Because that car is not working right ever again.
Yeah, not to mention, he's already done 1,000 burnouts in it, and he's pressed for time now.
We've already seen him fill it up. We've only seen him fill it up once when he's trying to recruit people for the whorehouse.
Yes. I do love the scene where he's at the diner with the two guys, and he's asking them how much the date cost.
How much did you pay for the movies? $20. How much did you pay for dinner?
How much pay for dinner? 30 plus tip, 35. And then
he's like, you're out $60 at least.
What'd you get? And she was like, she slept with Donaldson.
Yeah.
And he goes, and Tom Cruise is like, I'm just saying.
And he's wearing the jeans with the white button down shirt with the sport coat, and he's got the Ray-Bans on.
I wasn't alive in 83, but I don't know what I'm trying to say. If you didn't want to be Tom Cruise in 83 and once you saw this, you wanted to be Tom Cruise. He's the epitome of cool. The whole reason why we're doing this podcast, if there's a film that's got Tom Cruise in it, whatever he becomes in this film is the reason why he is the greatest actor of our
generation. I mean, it's another 4 years. How does this only get 12? Never mind. that's a conversation. I just looked on IMDb for when Cocktail came out, which is 88, which is another 5 years from now. It only got a 12 on Metascore.
No, Cocktail is the most underrated Tom Cruise film I've ever seen. I haven't seen them all. I haven't seen it all. It is the most underrated film I've ever seen of Tom Cruise.
So he gets home. When he gets home, he realizes everything has been stolen. So he calls... Yes. Who does he call?
Furniture. Does he call... Yeah, he tries to call Lena. He calls Lena's apartment and Guido answers. And
Guido
answers. And he starts yelling and cussing at Guido. And Guido hangs up on him. And he's like... I forget what he says, but he's basically like, if you're going to speak that way to me, I'm just going to hang up.
Right? Yeah, he's maybe a pet, but he calls him
an asshole. And so when he answers, Guido's like, asshole? That doesn't sound like someone that's... Because Guido's upset because he used his girls to make a bunch of money.
Exactly. So he buys everything back, right? And he goes, is that everything? He goes, yeah, just some artsy-fartsy thing. He goes, I don't know. I can't let the artsy-fartsy thing go for $40. I'll tell you what, $340, I'll spot you the $300. It throws the egg. When they were pulling away, did that remind you at all of It's Always Sunny when they're all sitting in the back of the U-Haul in lawn chairs?
Yes, but the thing about that bothered me is then the next scene you see it pulling away from the house and the door's down.
Right.
But yeah, Guido's not someone I'd want to have to owe money to.
Nope, absolutely not. Apps, because you know he's not forgetting it.
No. Guido's probably well connected with people that can put a hurt on you.
So they put everything back, right?
Because Guido's not the muscle.
No, he's sending muscle to break your kneecaps.
Yeah.
So he puts everything back, puts the egg on there. His parents come home. He goes, I thought you guys were coming home tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. His mom goes to turn the egg on. She comes back. And this is when his mom loses her shit and becomes the total bitch.
Because there's just a crack in the
on the inside. Then Tom even looks, or Joel even looks at it and can't see it. She goes, I'm disappointed. That's just so irresponsible of you. We should have never left you home by yourself.
He didn't even try the, well, I had friends over. It must have been one of them when I was out of the room. Yeah, like, he didn't even try that line.
But his dad's like, why don't you go get started on a seminar? She'll be fine.
Basically, basically the subtext there is your mom's being a bit of a bitch. We had a stressful time. You didn't pick us from the airport. Let's just let it go.
Right. It'll be okay. Yeah. He's doing yard work.
From one gentleman to another that has a spouse, sometimes you just need to walk away.
Yep. So he's doing yard work.
Being right, doesn't mean it's the right thing to be.
Exactly. He lights up the cigarette, and then like his dad goes, "Hey, Joel, do you have something to tell me?" And Joel plays dumb. He goes, "No, I don't think so.
I don't know what you're talking about."
He's like, and he's just kind of like, "I thought his dad was gonna figure out what happened with the Porsche because he was gonna get the bill or something in the mail, right?" But
yeah, I forgot about that part where his dad's like, "Something you want to tell me?" And then. Obviously, I just rewatched this again last night, but when I watched it a couple months ago, I forgot all about that. And it got me again.
He goes, I talked to the Princeton recruit. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he goes, he said Princeton could use a guy like Joel. And Joel goes, what? And he goes, Princeton could use a guy like
Joel. Does that mean when Joel goes to Princeton, this college admissions guy is going to expect him to set up all these like fun nights?
Well, I was going to say,
and is this an indictment on Princeton? Is this really just a deep political commentary on the writers and director of Princeton? Do they think Princeton's full of just sleazeballs?
I don't know, but if you are having trouble to get into the dream,
is this an indictment on the college? The establishment of college universities and how maybe there's some deep political commentary here.
But the point of that, the moral of that is, if you're trying to get into a college and really want to impress them, just hire a bunch of hookers and have them go home with them.
Sometimes you just got to say, what the fuck?
What the fuck? I was going to say that. He puts on the Ray-Bans, he goes, looks like it's University of Illinois for me. And he does the smile like a couple. Yeah. That's one of the iconic scenes too.
Yes.
So like the movie kind of, then they go to the post credits and like Lana's not wearing a bra. 100% you could tell.
No, you can, like, see full areola.
Yeah, you can see it, and I'm just like, okay. And she goes, well, looks like we won't be seeing each other for a while. And he's like, oh, I guess not. And then that's when they do the whole banter. And he goes, oh, how much you got on you? She's like, I got $20. $20? What are you going to do? What are we going to do about this? I can mail it to you. You can mail it to me. I can write you a check. And then the movie ends. But, like, that was... Oh, and the only person that got, like... It said Joey Pants as Guido. Everyone else just got their names and not their characters' names.
Yeah, I don't... Is it because Guido is not... Is that, like, not... Is it's more of a nickname? Is that why? Because it's not the character's name?
I guess. We don't know... Everyone else got the actors' names, like Curtis Armstrong and Bronson, you know...
Yeah.
But, like, Joey Pantoliano was Joey Pantoliano... as Guido, and everyone else was just the actors' names, not the characters. Like, it didn't say Tom Cruise as Joel or Rebecca De Mornay as
Lana. I don't know. I didn't notice that, but that is an odd choice.
Yeah, so I was watching, I go, huh, that's weird. Okay, well, I guess but yeah, I text you and I said, this movie is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It is a great movie and holds up. If not as good, better than it was in 83.
Right? Imagine, though, like, your mom leaves you at home at your parents' your house. They're going away. She goes, well, we left you $50 for food, $25 for something, and then, like, another $50
for... And that's in 83 money. That'd be like your parents... That'd be like your parents leaving, like, $500.
Yeah, I was going to say, $500 nowadays.
Yeah, he had it made, and he
had to give Jackie $75. He's like, "Hey, what are we gonna do about this?" He's like, "Well, all right." And Jackie's like,
"That goodwill he earned with Jackie though saved his ass at the end of the film."
100%, 100%.
So yeah, I mean, it saved. Oh. He knew where to go to check her. Actually, he would have been better off just losing the egg.
He would have been, yeah.
Because let's think about it. He basically broke even. The financials a break even proposition. Although his dad's going to find out about the car, so that's not great. But he did have lots.
His dad's going to find out?
He had lots of sex. How would his dad not find out?
I don't know.
There was a shit ton of work done to that car, and you don't think there's a smell?
Oh yeah, you're right. There's always going to be a smell.
There's always going to be a smell. And that car is not running correctly ever again. There's a reason why he drove home with the blinkers on.
Because he couldn't get it out of first.
Exactly. And there was zero brakes because they're waterlogged. So you can't go above 20 and stop safely. But yeah, so let's think about this. We're going to say, like, two or three more times of intercourse with Lena. Was that worth just losing the egg? Because honestly, if he would have just been okay with losing the egg, like, one of my friends, like, you could make up some BS story.
Yeah. Or, like, you know, I had the door open one day and, like, you know, I bumped into it or something.
I broke it and I thought you wouldn't notice. Like, I'm so sorry.
His dad's like, he can buy a new one, and the mom's like, where's he gonna get the money to buy a new egg?
If she only knew.
And they were showing, like, the young entrepreneurs.
Well, and that's the thing, is they're gonna find out he got suspended.
100%. But, like, they're doing the young enterpriser thing, and she's like, there's like, well, we made a paper towel holder, and we sold it for
$900. Yeah.
$899, and we made $500, you know, we grossed $500 or whatever. And, like, he's like, my name is Joel, and I grossed over $8,000 in one night, and that's the end of the movie.
So, yeah.
So, that being said, I think we're to the point where we rank the Tom Cruise movies that we've seen.
Yeah, so this was the fifth movie, so right now the standings or the rankings so far. At number four, we have Endless Love. At three, we have The Outsiders. At two, we have Taps. At one, we have Losing It. And the new number one is Risky Business.
110%.
Okay. I'm going out on a limb there, but I had a feeling you're going to agree with me.
100%. Risky Business is number one. Still put Taps at number two.
No, losing it would be number two.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Risky Business taps, losing it. Outsiders, and then Endless Love.
We went from a, like, what would we want to watch again perspective? Like, what was more fun? Taps wasn't as, like, I'm not saying, like, I don't want to say artsy, but, like, I'm not saying, like, heavy, serious movies can't be ranked high. But there's not enough meat there on the bones to make me want to watch that.
No, I would. I don't want to watch Taps again, but I would 100% watch Risky Business again.
I would 100% want to watch Losing It again. Like, oh, what's a fun Tom Cruise movie that no one remembers?
Yeah,
Losing It. Like, it's a fun, just the, like, it's got that going for it. Like, if you want to see one of those types of movies,
right?
And you're surfing around, like, and Losing It's available, you're gonna be like, oh,
do you realize? We have now entered, like, not even peak Tom Cruise movies, but, like, we are to the point now where he's going to start churning out banger after banger after banger.
We've got All the Right Moves, where he plays a high school football superstar that I have never seen and know nothing about.
He's trying to get out of a dying mill town, which reminds me a lot of Flashdance.
Yeah. Then we got Legend, which is supposed to be terrible.
Yeah,
Legend is supposed to be bad.
Everyone has said this was his worst movie to date, and like that he's ever done.
But It's epic dark fantasy with Tom Cruise. How is that bad?
Tim Curry's in it too, I think.
Yes, he is. But you just tell me, epic dark fantasy starring Tom Cruise.
I don't know. We'll reserve judgment until we watch it. But then after Epic, I mean, after Legend, isn't it Top Gun? I think so.
It goes Legend. Okay, it goes All the Right Moves, Legend, then Top Gun. Yes.
Yeah. So he goes from Legend, where it's a box office stinker, I want to say, to Top Gun, which is still quoted to this day, 32 years later.
Yeah, so I want butts and I want them now. Not probably the quote you're thinking of, but the quote I always think of. Legend won a British Society of Cinematographers Award for Best Cinematography, and it was nominated. It was nominated for Best Makeup.
That's the British. What do they know, though?
Yeah, but it was nominated for Best Makeup and Best Special Visual Effects. So the story might be not great, but it's supposed to be shot well, and the actors are going to look good.
Right.
I'm going to think it's better than we're thinking. I'm excited to watch Legend just from the fact that I know nothing about it. Okay. Although we couldn't be watching All the Right Moves at a better time.
Right,
it's the start of fall. Like, come on, it's great.
Football season, wait. Right?
All the Right Moves is next.
Oh, Leah Thompson's in this. And
Craig T. Nelson,
right? And like he like stars with a bunch. Like Leah Thompson was the mom in Back to the Future.
Yeah,
Marty McFly's mother that he almost sleeps with. Hey, Terry O'Quinn from Lost, remember him?
So, All the Right Moves is directed by Michael Chapman, who was a camera operator on The Godfather and Jaws.
Oh, okay.
And he also worked on Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and stuff I've never heard of.
We've got to watch Far and Away at one point. Okay. All right. Anyway.
I've never watched Far and Away.
Neither have I. But he stars with his wife, Nicole Kidman.
But we're getting to banger territory. Because yes, after Legend, we have Top Gun, The Color of Money, never seen, but sounds fun.
That's the theory. That's the theory of the whole Vincent from Collateral.
Yeah, but basically, like, out of our next few, we've got Top Gun coming up. We've got Rain Man. We've got Days of Thunder. We've got The Firm. Mission Impossible. The firm. I mean, just banger after banger coming up. Those aren't in order, but
right.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been Cruising Through Cinema. check out the show notes for all of our social links and to how to join our Discord and our rankings in case you want to reference back to them. I'm Dennis.
I'm Dyer.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.